praise and thanks be unto our Lord for this hour of grace. May He bless us also this afternoon, is my prayer. Let us start by singing song 686, hymn 686. Beyond the clouds, founded by God, lies the eternal city, so golden, bright, and beautiful. Beyond death, beyond trouble, beyond the sorrow of this earth, there lies the city in which the Saviour's flock has its home. We are so grateful for all the precious words, for last night and also for this morning, for all the words which we could hear by His grace, and also for every song which we could sing. We are grateful to the Lord. And this morning in the hymn 707, it stood out to me, "The world perishes with its lust, the beauty of the flesh fadeth away. Time will destroy it, what the hands of man built." And this is a truth, a fact. Everything will be fulfilled. When we sang this, a word stood out to me from the prophet Jeremiah and from the prophet Habakkuk, from Jeremiah 51, and this I just would like to read before we pray. Jeremiah 51:58. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. And thus the word applies, what the prophet Habakkuk already said in chapter 2, verse 13, "The people shall weary themselves for vanity, and the people shall labor in the very fire." These are very serious words. People weary themselves for vanity, and the people labor for the fire. The prophet Habakkuk cries out in chapter 2, in verse 12 or 13, let us read. But we can read from verse 12. "Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Beloved, we see the men of God have spoken, driven by the Holy Spirit, not by themselves. They invented something. They didn't made up something of thin air, but when they opened their mouth, then they spoke what God commanded them to speak. And we have heard it this morning so clearly. God wants that only that is said what He has to say in His church. And everything else may be so thick and so high as it wants, it will be destroyed as the walls of Babylon. Everything will have its end, but the word of our God it will remain throughout all eternity. And if these men said it like this, then we remember Peter as also this man, having been led by the Spirit of God. He speaks it out, not that he took it over from the prophets, but the Spirit of God. He said it to him. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3, from verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Dear brothers and sisters, I think when we live in these days, we see, and also our dear brother Branham said it, everything is already ready. That which shall come upon this earth. But the question that imposes itself on us is the one, as Peter says it, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Yes, this is the question. And I think this is the most important of all. We may see that this or that is being fulfilled, that this and this takes shape. But the question is, how are we before him? How do we stand before him? Are we ready for his coming? Are we ready when he calls us that we can go with him? Or how does it actually look like? Peter says, "We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." We know now everything is full of unrighteousness. Wherever we look, we see nothing good. But we may look on one thing, on that what the Lord prepared for us, for this time, for this hour. We can look on Israel, and we could waste time. It wouldn't profit us. It is important that we are prepared, that we are ready for his appearing, because we know his coming is very near. Peter goes a bit further. He says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." When I read that, it became so great to me that Peter has written these words, expressing them. And I had to say, does this word not apply for our time? Does it not fit for our days? Yes, it is so of a truth, that as written in his epistles, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest unto their own destruction. Is the word not twisted in our days in various ways? Everybody takes it and deals with it as he likes. But on the other hand, and with this, we don't want to glory ourselves, but we can say God has given us grace, that we may hear His word so clear, that we receive it, that we take it to heart, that we believe it. Peter says here, unto their own destruction they twist it. If we don't take the word the way it was given to us and believing it as it was left to us, then we are finished, beloved. But may God give grace. He says it. There were such people in those days that they twist the Holy Scriptures. And we spoke this afternoon and we said, but the people read the Scriptures which are published. And I said, what good is it when they read the brochures not understanding them? As also the Holy Scripture, we can all read it. And we must confess we have read and it remained hidden from our eyes. And many things we didn't understand. And maybe there are some things which we still don't understand. Beloved, but it must be revealed to us by the grace of God. And we can say, the Lord is gracious unto us and approached us, that we can say, He revealed unto us the mysteries and all the precious words, everything what He left unto us. And beloved, Brother Frank said it so wonderfully, also with Abraham this morning. Yes, there were so many. And this one Abraham He has chosen. Yes, we ask ourselves, did the others not believe? What was with them? But see, an election is required. God has chosen a people for Himself. The others, He didn't speak to them. But with Abraham He spoke. Beloved. Here Peter says, as they do it also with the other scriptures. It was already from the beginning so. And you know, it is not different to this day. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. This is the admonition which this man of God has given to the believers in those days. And I think this admonition we all should take it to heart in these days. Not everyone who comes and presents something and thinks they know something knows something. But in these days it is important whether someone is sent from God, whether one has the commission for it, or whether he has it not. Beloved, if that is not there, then we can forget such people. We want that what God has spoken. We want to hear Him to whom God has spoken, as it was at all times. And this all of us should take to heart, and this we should keep in mind, that we are not being led away as written here, and that we end up in error. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Praise and thanks be unto our God. Now, beloved, also this afternoon, we want to call upon His name, asking Him that He may continue to help us, that He may continue to lead us. Let us stand up and pray together. Faithful God, we thank You also for this hour of grace this afternoon. We thank You, Lord, that You didn't forget Your people. Throughout all the ages, You had much effort and work until our days, Lord. We cannot do otherwise but to praise your name and to exalt you, Lord. For you are worthy that one praises you, that one honors you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your precious and holy word. We thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful promises which you have given to your people also in our days. Lord, we expect you very soon, that soon you will call your own, fetching them into your kingdom and into your glory. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord breaks forth, you will take them to yourself. Thank you for it, that we may be with you. Worship and honor to your name. Continue to be with us. Bless us, O Lord, those who have come, and bless also those who departed already. We ask you, continue to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. We are again grateful to the Lord that we can be here. I hope that all take it serious, what is being said, that they take it to heart. For the times do not get better, they get worse. And it's important that we hold fast to the word of the Lord. At any cost, come what may come. I'm convinced that all who are really born of God, that they have a connection with God through the Word and the Spirit. The connection is there. And from this connection with God, we receive new strength and life. I just want to announce that, God willing, I will be in Salzburg in 14 days from today. After that, 1 week in Palermo, and on the last Sunday in Zurich. Whether I will go away in the meantime is not certain at the moment. Beginning of October, God willing, we will be again together here. And when I saw some out-of-towners coming, I even made the remark, I didn't expect you this time. To me, the first weekend in October was in my mind. But we are grateful for you. I'm not a man who can express this properly. God alone knows what I feel in my heart. I'm not one of those who might go around shaking hands with everyone at every opportunity and who thanks everyone for everything. But there's one thing you should know, that I appreciate it, that you come to hear the Word of God. At that time, when Brother Branham told Dr. Davis, who ordained him, that God has called him to preach, then he said very generously, "You? Who will hear you anyway? You will preach to the pillars in the tabernacle, but not to people." But the Lord said to Brother Branham, "You will pray for kings, and I will be with you wherever you go." If one then thinks about that, a King George the VI, before he passed away, he sent a telegram and he was asking that Brother Branham comes to pray for him, that the King of Sweden and others invited him to come to be their guest. I just wished that a Dr. Davis in Durban, South Africa, could have been there when almost half of a million people were present to hear the Word of God. What is foolishness to the world, this God has chosen to bring to naught the wise of this world. What would the same man have said if he had seen in Bombay, when people came together in crowds which could not be overlooked? God has a people on earth. It's men without rank, reputation or name who are sent, and whoever has a name, he will lose it. And whoever is honored, God will still ensure that he will no longer be, so that at the end, all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory can be given to God alone. We will, with God's help, until the end, we will hold fast to this precious holy word of God. To this we were destined, not to follow cunningly devised fables, not to give in to every wind of doctrine, letting ourselves be tossed to and fro, where people like it, but taking our stand in the Word of God and remain standing on it until we come from believing unto seeing. Sometimes I feel sorry for myself because I know very well that others also give their judgment. And if you have to make corrections, if one has to speak out a rebuke, then this is an inner pain. I would like it best to hug all brothers. This is actually my nature. For this, I don't need much from God to put this into practice. But if it is about the word of the Lord, then no compromises can be made. Then you have to come out with the truth at any cost, whether you make yourself liked or unliked. God does not ask you about this. The Lord is jealous for the church. And as we heard it in the word of introduction, it's no use for us if we know what is happening around the world, and especially in Israel. And if we say the coming of the Lord is at the door, this is only of real use for us if we are ready to meet the Lord. And that's what these meetings are for, to be made ready on the inside, to come closer to God, to understand His Word better, and to be more intimately joined with Him and with one another in the love of God. At the beginning of the 70s, I made myself many enemies and received great criticism because back then I wrote freely and openly that the year 73 would come and go. The people fixed this date, that it would be the last year. 1975-76, I have then shipped the English brochure worldwide, and in it I set forth that the year 77 will come and go without that something will take place on which many were waiting for. What this meant for me, knowing that Brother Branham mentioned this year, hardly anyone can imagine. But in my heart spoke something, not a loud voice, but repeatedly it spoke. The year 77 will come and will go. I could nothing for it. Brothers who were very nigh to me, they not only rebuked me, but they said to me all kinds of things. But when the time was over, nobody got in touch with me. Then there was the great silence. And now, especially in Norway and Finland, I have heard the statements of the last knowledge about Parousia, about the return of the Lord, which is said to have taken place 63 at the opening of the seals. I have listened to all that, and in connection with it, that the time of grace is over and such things. And then I had to think about that brothers who spread such things 1974 with some hippies, they were sitting in a basement, not knowing anything of a ministry of Brother Branham. And nevertheless, they claim that 63, the Lord already has come, and the time of grace is over. And then 74, not knowing anything of the gracious visitation of God in this generation. Sometimes, don't be angry with me, but I think a crazy spirit, no clear reasoning is possible anymore. If this would still be so, then many would probably change their mind. But not only that, but the calculation which is connected with it plays now the biggest role. At that time, the half an hour silence started, and this silence lasts for 20 years and some months, according to their calculation. So, the year 83 is for them the last year, at the most a short period of time in the year 84. One thing I say today, and I wrote it also in the circular, the year 83 and the year 84, both years will come and will go. And one thing can be said already now. These people will afterward be silent about that what they said, but they will bring something very new again onto the religious market. That's how it was until now, and that's how it will be. I'm also aware of that criticism could come up even of brothers and close relatives. If one says the year 83 and 84 will come and go, somebody could then ask, Brother Frank, do you really don't reckon with the coming of the Lord? Oh yes, I reckon with the coming of the Lord. But before the Lord comes, all the prophecies of the scripture must have found their fulfillment. You cannot fix the date of the coming of the Lord as you like, but the date is already fixed by God Himself. How important it is here that we hold fast to the Word and that we don't make ourselves available for some spirits who truly cause nothing but havoc. I would like to read some scriptures based on the word which was read to us. You all know it becomes difficult for me to preach three sermons in a row. And so today we will end with a praise and worship service. From time to time, we have to thank God with all our hearts for what He has done for us. To us was read the word from the letter of Peter, and already mentioned that people, that what the apostles, especially Paul, has written, that they twist it unto their own destruction, as they do also with the other scriptures. Then this serious admonition, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, because ye know these things before, beloved. Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. This admonishing word must be taken very seriously. What do you think, by what kind of persuasive power these people speak? We cannot compete there at all. We couldn't compete with them at all. They have every quote by hand, although it is totally taken out of context. But it's such a thing that people are led away, as it is written here, and fall from their own steadfastness. It took already place, and it can happen very easily. Hence, the anchoring in the Word of God. And if people tell me, and this took place on my last journey, that the Lord has come already, one could then ask the first question, and you are still here? At the return of the Lord, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive are changed and together raptured. All this is spiritualized. And many, many years ago, yes, almost 30 years ago, I attended a conference. I don't want to mention the name of the church, but there they believed that the first resurrection means that you have become a believer when one has risen with Christ unto a new life. One was convinced of it, that the millennium already commenced. People full of love, preachers, as you hardly can imagine them better, and nevertheless, scripturally seen, being led away into error. God is in His Word. You cannot spiritualize things. One cannot say, if we believe the message, then we are taken up into the air. All this we can forget. Oh, one could really feel otherwise. If one thinks about this pious deception, about this misleading, therefore, hold fast to the word of the Lord. As it is written, so it will take place. The same Jesus who was taken up into heaven will return in like manner as you have seen Him go up into heaven. Not as a thought, not as a spirit, not as a word, not as message, not as revelation. The same Jesus who was crucified, who was buried, who rose on the third day, the same Jesus will come in like manner, not in another. In like manner He will return as He ascended into heaven. Hallelujah. This is God's holy word. At the beginning of this letter, Peter writes in verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So, the word of prophecy, the word of the apostles agrees, and to this we shall hold on. Let me read some other scriptures, and then we will go into prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. I read this verse to the end. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We not only received the word of God, but the received word of God worketh effectually since we became believers, and since we received it. May God grant it to us by grace. On the last Sunday, I read in Zurich from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Here it says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory for ever and ever. Paul was aware of his commission. He not only said it, it was so. God had chosen him for an apostle for the Gentiles, so that the nations might hear the word from his mouth. In the letter to the Romans, in the last chapter, he of course pointed to it clearly and writes there to the church, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." Almost the same or similar is written in Titus chapter 1. From verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. At that time, most surely, some could have said, "Paul, you take a little too much out for yourself. One did it already in the days of Moses, as Brother Branham emphasized it in one sermon in particular." They said, "We are all here. You are not the only one. Here are the brothers," and so forth. Nobody argues that brothers are here. And if there is a man who is grateful for his brothers, then it's me. But one has to distinguish whether we are pulling in the same direction and are under the same inspiration of the Spirit, contributing together unto the edification of the Church of the Living God, or whether people are on the move with a spade to undermine everything. On a construction site, there are different people, but such who are undermining the foundation, they should really not be allowed to be there. Brethren, who by God were led and joined together, they stand together, they bear responsibility together, shoulder by shoulder in the kingdom of God, they were together from the very beginning. Did Paul dispute something with Peter? Did James dispute something with John? In the last book of the Bible, it is pointed especially to the Word. And one could start with the last chapter, going backward until the first. In the last, it says in chapter 22, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." What was it? God had finished speaking. And it's the only book where then it's written at the end that nobody may add something and nobody may take something away. That does not mean in any way that you can add or remove somewhere else. It only means here is the end of the New Testament. Here is the last speaking of God. Here the final mysteries were revealed. Here is the end. Nobody may add. And woe unto him who leaves out or takes away from it. In verse 18 it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things." You can read on. I'm asking you, where did Brother Branham make a calculation about the half an hour silence in heaven? Where did he indicate, even in the slightest way, the things that are being preached today with reference to him and what he is supposed to have said? People go beyond the limits of the Word of God and get on very dangerous ground. In chapter 21, it says, in verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Write, for these words are true and faithful. People of God, hear the Word of God so that you have assurance of faith and are kept until the end before all error, which is wrapped in so piously that one has to be astonished at it. God's Word is not wrapped in. It was unveiled. The book with the seven seals is open, but not that everybody can do with it what he likes, but that we recognize that God has spoken in his holiness and that we must receive his word in this divine holiness and not dealing with it and doing with it what we like. In chapter 19 it says, Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Maybe I should read you the previous verse after all, and you will find out that it's no contradiction. Nevertheless, I want to read it. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Did you all read with me? He has a name written on him that no man knew but he himself. And in the next verse, the mystery for those are lifted, who by revelation of the word are led into the mystery of God. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Firstly, it says that no man knows his name. And in the next verse, his name is called the Word of God. I met already enough people who mentioned to me some names, and this should then be even the new names of God. Here, in this Bible verse, it is written, and his name is called the Word of God. Let us not search for new names, but for the old Word of God, in which God revealed himself to us. And then the matter is already in order. If people search for new names of God and bypass the old word, then they can never reach the destination. See how simple the language of God is, a name which besides him no one knows. But this is not the last verse. In the last chapter, in the next verse, it continues. His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not the interpretation. In the beginning was the Word. Only later on came the interpretation. In the Word was life. In the interpretation was death. We must make a decision where we want to take our place. Not a pious philosophy and theory about the message, but a clear divine language of his word and his spirit comes to the people of God in these days. All who are of God will hear his words. For he who is of God, he heareth God's word. That has always been the case and will be so until the end. Let us take all this to heart and let us ask God that He keeps us. And what does the Lord say to it? In the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. This is the secret, He the vine, and we the branches. The intimate connection with God, the abiding in His words, and with it, in Him, must be guaranteed to the end. You all know why John was sent to the Isle of Patmos, namely, for the sake of the Word of God, not to hold an evangelistic campaign, not to go on vacation, not just to have been banned, but according to the counsel of God, he was sent there for the sake of the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God's sake. The same happened in these last days. The final ministry should put the testimony of Jesus and the word of God anew upon the lampstand. May the word of God become more precious and more valuable unto us than everything else on earth, that we abide in Him and in His word, not to step left or right of it, but being found in it when He comes. Here, He says it Himself in chapter 1, in the last part of verse 9. I was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why was the prophetic ministry in this generation? For what are we gathering? Don't you think that God sees what kind of sacrifices are connected with it? For whom it is easy to drive? The expenses are great. People don't come just to see a hall or to make a sightseeing tour of the city or to make just a trip, but to hear the word of God. And I tell you, the time might get even more precious, that people would travel even more far as they traveled until now to hear the true word of God. And no way will be too far for them. The word of our God has become precious unto us. And we have given to the Lord the first place in our life. I hope that this is really true, that this is not just words, but that it is really like this, that out of gratitude for what God has done for us, we give Him the first place. And I think by faith we can say already now, it is Him who leads the cause of His people in a wonderful way and will complete it in glory. These are the last words, which, by the way, are mentioned already in the circular letter. But here it is written, "Thus saith the Lord, the Highest, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people." This we believe. We rely on it. He who made such efforts to, in all the confusion of this time, to reveal a clear and true gospel, yes, the word of God, putting it upon the lampstand. He will take care until the end that a church without spot and without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sealed with the Holy Spirit, has become a part of the Word, and with it a part of the divine plan of salvation in this last time. We could now still set forth some things, but the time is up. We want to give God the thanks with all our hearts. And I think today we should all pray together, as we are likewise told in the epistle to the Romans, probably chapter 16, that they raised their voices in one accord to bring God the thanks. In any case, it must be written in Romans, just like in the book of Acts. Yes, here it is, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, 5 and 6. For whatsoever, one moment, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord, that with one mind and one mouth we glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This happens there where we have one mind with one another. Perhaps the time will come when we avoid all conversations between the meetings, so as not to leave behind the impression that one does not see or discerns in the same way. Others are burdened by it and sometimes cannot cope with it, and later think, "Oh, the brother still sees it that way and the sister still sees it this way. How come?" In the moment when we understood that we can burden others with our good opinions, then we become quiet and walk our way with God. Sometimes the unity is questioned by carelessness and endangered. Let us, when we speak with one another, let us refer to that what spoke to us from the Word of God and edifying one another through it, that we not take a new direction, but continuing in the divine direction and together walking on the same way and strive for the same goal. Our God will help us with this. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us stand up, and I ask you all, come to the front. Together, we want to thank our Lord today. And this with all our hearts and with all our soul. I pray for a new experience with you. I pray for a new experience with you. Only through you I will be a victor. Give me your strength and reveal thyself anew to me and veil me into your grace. The Lord revealed Himself to us. He has veiled us into His grace. He is present. He spoke with us. He is in His Word, and His Word is in us. And the Spirit makes it now alive. Hallelujah. Together, we want to thank God. Should some brothers feel to be late to thank loudly, then do it. But we all continue to pray. May God today say amen to the prayers, and may He let happen what we are asking Him. We are all concentrating now on the connection with God and persevere in prayer, in the petitions, in the thanksgiving, in the praise. And the Spirit of God will testify to it. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you with all our hearts for your grace, for your faithfulness, for your word, Lord, for your speaking in our days, for your working. You testify of yourself to be the same who you was yesterday and today, and who you remain the same throughout all eternity. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship with one another and with you, Lord. You have spoken, Lord, through your precious and holy word. We worship you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and we glorify your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the victor over death. Jesus is the victor. He helps in all trouble. Jesus is the victor. Throughout eternity, for me, Jesus has won the victory. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed through his blood. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. Hallelujah. The Savior is mine. Hallelujah. How wonderful it is to be saved. We want to recognize, enlightened by the Spirit of God, what God is doing now. When Mary received the word of promise, she did not start to wrestle and to supplicate, but she opened her mouth, spoke by the Spirit words of prophecy. She thanked God that he has seen the lowliness of his maid, giving his people salvation. It was no wrestling anymore, no supplicating. A thanksgiving by the Spirit who came upon her, who overshadowed her, who made in her the word becoming a reality. So it should happen now. No wrestling, no fighting anymore. The seed of the word, as the promise, was laid into our hearts. The Spirit comes now upon us to bring forth the word for this time, so that it is confirmed. And in this way, we want to thank the Lord together now. Deeply convinced that we received his word, that we believed his promises, and that he will confirm it, bringing it forth for the glory of his name. Let us thank the Lord now in this way. At the end of this meeting, we praise and glorify your name. Our soul exalts the Lord who is in our midst. We thank you that you have spoken and you will continue to speak until we come from believing unto seeing. Receive the glory, receive the praise. Thanks be to you. for time and for eternity, Lord. Hallelujah to your name. You will continue to be with us. You will accompany our brothers and sisters on their way homes. You will be with them in all places, Lord. You will protect them, Lord, from all calamity, from all error. Oh, faithful God, we thank you and we worship you that your protecting hand has carried us until this very hour. Hallelujah. Praise be to you. Glory to your wonderful and holy name. Your name is the Word of God. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. And we worship you. Your word we received. And you confirms it. Praise, honor, and glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your people are gathered under the blood of the covenant, under the word of the covenant. Lord, you have spoken. Who shall not but to hear? Praise, honor, and glory, and worship. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, by grace, we may recognize that we cross over into a new phase. No more our efforts, but your Spirit creates new life and works in us. I thank you for it. Faithful God, together we ask you, have mercy on your people and bless, Lord, your inheritance. Lead it on the right way so that the enemy cannot devour it. Faithful God, may it be manifested soon that you are with your people and that you plead the cause of your people. Beloved Lord, may all recognize that we don't stand here in our own matter or speak in our own matter, but that you speak to us and that you complete your work in these days. Faithful God, you have strengthened me. You have comforted me. You raised me up. You have given me new courage. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Oh God, thank you. Praise, honor, and glory. May your blessing and your grace, yes, Lord, lift up thy countenance over all of us and give us your peace at all times. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be unto you throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You shall be the first, you shall be the last. Throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Thou shalt be the first, thou shalt be the last. Throughout all eternity. Hallelujah.